am here. Mm-hmm. I have arrived. Mm-hmm. We may begin.
We may.
In that case, greetings, Apro Posse. No. And buckle up for the sex.
Lovely.
It's the Apro Hope Nothing podcast.
Mm. All right.
Quite. With your hosts.
Yeah. Salsa.
James.
And most importantly...
And Jenna.
Hey! Yes. Welcome back.
So
you're listening to Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Lower your bar. AON
Radio!
In the morning. No.
I went all like NPR and you're like fucking...
Pew, 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 pew.
I don't know. And who has it? Sydney's 97 maybe has a morning... thing.
KDWB has a morning thing that isn't like a morning zoo, but they're still kind of a fucking morning zoo.
All right.
They had an entire... From my childhood, I remember that there was a whole thing in March about them finding a purse from this woman who was rude to a store clerk, and they were debating whether or not they should poop in it. Which is some real morning zoo bullshit.
Yeah. It's like, what's his name? Howard Stern.
It was a little bit Howard Stern, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been in the same era, too.
Sure.
Now, granted...
The shock jock thing going on, yeah.
On April 1st, they announced that the entire thing was a prank, that there never was a purse, and that the audience was disgusting for telling them to poop in it. But... there was a time.
There was a time... When I was so broken hearted.
Go on.
I got over it.
Okay.
All right.
She had a date like that once.
That's
Jesus.
Probably.
God, I wish it was once.
Most of them. Yeah, it was.
Well, maybe we should drink away your woes.
Oh,
I've heard that works. Jesus.
I don't know. I drink away a lot of things.
That's fair.
That
what are we drinking?
We're drinking... what are we drinking, James?
Hot toddies.
Oh, are we?
It was your idea, so I figured I'd let you announce it.
I genuinely thought you forgot.
No.
That's why I was so shocked.
It was your idea, so I was like, I'll have James announce it. And as soon as I said it, I was like, it sounds like I have no idea.
So, I mean, I personally couldn't tell the difference. So. So anyway, hot toddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, since the weather is...
Has taken a turn.
Taking a polar plunge, it might be... might be a good opportunity.
So we have Tension Tamer tea with honey, a little bit of lemon juice, and some brandy.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, there's definitely chamomile in that, but whatever.
There's also peppermint.
There is also peppermint, although it's not as peppermint forward as I would like.
We could always have you mix in some mint mead.
Nah.
Okay.
I mean, we have it. No. It's right behind you.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
It's right behind you.
You know what? I just finished a horror festival. Nothing scares me right now.
That's
nice
fair
try,
enough, yeah.
James.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anyway, what have you all been up to? Because I'm going to be talking for a while.
I have been doing all the brewing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Brewing, brewing, brewing. I have.
Hello, who is it?
Yes. I have a surprise piment that I put into secondary. The piment is a fruit mead, specifically a grape mead. So not a wine. It's not a wine.
I'm waiting for the explanation on how those things are different.
It is a mead. You are fermenting the honey sugars, but it has fruit in it.
Oh.
And this fruit happens to be grapes as opposed to orange or, you know, apple or something like
raspberry.
That.
Raspberry.
Yeah.
Banana.
So
we're just naming fruit.
You have mead, and then a subset of mead is a melomel, which is a fruit mead, and then a subset of melomel is a piment, which is a grape mead.
Melomel is such a great word that sounds made up.
It does.
It sounds like something like Jessa when she was four would put into a story.
Subset of melomel is my Turtles cover band.
Mm.
It's mm-hmm. all the turtles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, God, I haven't listened to turtles in forever.
Yeah. So, I saw many things.
Oh. You're just going
to... Yeah.
Okay.
Because Salsa was talking about how he'd been doing all of the brewing.
Oh, I was waiting for more, and then there was a pause.
Well, you weren't. Okay. We were discussing it.
Oh, okay.
I was letting the conversation subset breathe a little bit. My God,
I didn't see that you'd stuck the aerator in it when pouring your conversation, so I missed it. I'm sorry.
Anyway, no, that's okay. I do it all the time.
I love watching the two of you do this to each other because this is like that moment in
a video game where you see two enemy factions approach each other and start fighting, and you're like, I'm going to see how this ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I saw it happening, yep. And I went, oh, yeah, no, I know what's going on. Hmm. I usually do this.
Yes.
So it felt good correct. Not being the culprit for once.
How did it feel being the victim?
I mean, it felt like justice.
Huh? Huh. Hmm.
Yeah, all right.
We had gotten... I had mentioned it a while back. We had gotten a whole box of grapes from our neighbor who has grapevines in their backyard. And we were just like, we've got so many grapes. Everybody eat these. And people ate grapes and we still had a lot. And so I was like, oh, fucking throw them in this thing of, you know, mead and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But that's in secondary now. And it looks pretty good so far. It's got a good flavor. So fingers crossed. And then I made mead. Mm-hmm. I started a new batch of mead that's percolating away now. And I was contacted yesterday afternoon by my mother-in-law. Hmm. Backing up a little bit here, usually to make cider, hard cider,
okay.
I have been getting my juice, the apple juice, from... the local brewing store.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
The brewing store recently closed all their brick-and-mortar stores.
Aww. Mm.
They have gone online only.
Mm.
Which means, suddenly, my source of apple juice has disappeared.
Dried up, yeah.
So I contacted a bunch of orchards in the area to see if anybody has that. And a lot of orchards don't do bulk... juice.
Okay.
You know, they'll do like a gallon of pasteurized, like a 5-gallon bucket of raw apple juice, they just typically don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to find one, and I have been having a really hard time finding one.
Mm-hmm.
But I happened to stumble on one in Wisconsin that does raw cider for brewing. And I was like, awesome. So I contacted them. They were like, it's been a bad year. We don't have any.
Oh, no! Oh.
So I was like, well, I guess we're just not making cider this year.
Aww.
All right. So, fast forward to yesterday. My mother-in-law contacts me, and she's like, by the way, did you find any cider? And I was like, no, I figured, whatever. She's like, I've got 3 buckets of apples at home. Do you want them?
Well.
I'm like, okay. Either I take them or they go bad.
Right. You
know? Yeah.
Because it's from her mother's farm.
And it would like, only you know, take one bad apple.
Yeah, I know. It goes fast.
fuck you, Bob Kroll.
Bob Kroll and so many. Like, insert
douchebag of the month. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so I drive over there, grab 3 buckets of apples, and come home. And then, like, today, during breaks at work... I set up the like apple press and you know apple crusher and everything like that, so that as soon as I was done with work, I could like rinse off the apples, crush them, press them, and get the you know all of that done before y'all showed up.
Right.
Fair enough.
Sucker.
And my son and I managed to do all of that in like 2 hours.
Wow.
It went really fast. Huh. I was really impressed with how fast it went. But yeah, we got that. So I've got about 2.5 gallons of raw juice now, ready to go.
Okay. It's not bad.
Yeah, I'll pitch yeast in there tomorrow and it'll be ready to go.
Nice.
We'll see what comes out of it. Because it was just a, like I said, complete surprise, and I don't have any sanitizer. right now.
Oh.
Because, again, usually if I needed something, I would just drive to the fucking brew store. But
right.
I used the last of my sanitizer recently, and now I need to buy it online.
I wish I'd known. So I've got some Star San.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, if you would have brought some over, that would have been great.
Bought some tonight.
Yeah,
God, you could have. If the two of you communicated properly,
we'd have that situation. But then we'd have to talk.
Why do you... Have you brewed? What is...
Yeah.
I don't...
I've brewed a few things modestly, successfully. Okay. I didn't accomplish the thing that I wanted to.
Yeah. So, I have Star Sand in the mail. It's going to get here in a few days, but that doesn't help me right now.
No. Right.
So, I did it the old-fashioned way.
Cheap
vodka.
Oh.
Yep.
So, I had some... a 1.5 liter of you know, $10 vodka sitting around. It was like, well, this is getting used now, and splashed that around and you know, cleaned things out with that. But still, it's just like, it's not properly sanitized. So
it could be fun.
It could be amazing, and it could be utter shit.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Well, sometimes these adventures are learning experiences.
Indeed. And if it goes wrong, I'm out nothing.
Right. Right.
A couple hours of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. And then last year's batch of cider has gone into the freezer to Jack.
Oh, yes.
Shit.
Mm, Applejack.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes.
And it's real good this year. It's nice and tart.
Mm.
So.
I'm glad you're happy with it.
Mm-hmm. You don't like tart apple?
You're more of a tart than she is.
It's not my favorite.
I'm more of a tart than a lot of people
yes.
are.
That's very true.
That's really impressive that you're more of a tart than me, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had a date like that once. Yeah. I had a one-night stand like that once.
Oh, shit. All right. Huh? That's fair.
Hmm.
God. Fuck.
One Night Stand Salsa is my Lou Bega cover band.
Mm.
Hmm.
It's all right.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The One Night Stand Salsa just sounds like a
the
One Night Stand
Tango.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, I was about to say it sounds like a song that you do a specific salsa dance to.
Oh, I was just thinking the One Night Stand Salsa is
constantly?
The act of sex.
Oh, gross.
Is the one act the One Night Stand Salsa?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Mostly interrupting podcasters.
Knock, knock.
I
moo.
Interrupting Cow Rodriguez. It's a family name. So the...
Moo.
God damn it.
Good. All right.
And it was my anniversary, that too.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you were saying.
I saw that.
Yeah, happy 14th anniversary.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
I didn't get you anything.
Neither did I.
Oh. Did Raiderly get you guys something?
Yeah.
All right.
It was the 14th is the ivory. And so she got...
Piano.
She found online this this Etsy artist who does like art on a dictionary page.
Ooh.
So it's like the dictionary page is the canvas upon which the print is made.
Sure.
And then like it's a couple elephants, hence the ivory.
Nice.
Like with their trunks intertwined holding a balloon.
Aww.
And then like our name and like the date underneath it.
That's really sweet.
And adorable.
If you look at the dictionary page itself, it's the word love is on that page.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Hmm. I like it.
Nice.
So anyway. You were saying?
Moo.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched a bunch of stuff. I had intended to get so much stuff done, and I did. Because I was like, oh, shit, I have a weekend where I'm not scheduled for anything.
The ADHD motto.
And then...
I had intended to get so much done.
I did end up getting kind of a lot of stuff done, but it was, you know, very much like sort of the neurodiverse ping pong chores.
Sure.
You know, you pick up the socks in this one area and you take them to the laundry room. The laundry room trash needs to be taken out, so you walk out to the back. You move the thing that is the large piece of trash that has to be put next to the bins from the backyard to the trash area. And then you, like,
yeah. Actually, I saw a meme where somebody was like, I'm going to call it Roomba cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, they bounce around and things will get somewhat clean.
As
I find them. Sure. But, you know.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that opening sequence to Malcolm in the Middle? No,
it's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm changing a light bulb!
Yeah. The dad sees a light bulb is burnt out, so he goes to the closet to grab the spare.
Get a light bulb.
And the shelf is uneven, so he goes to get the screw gun, but the screw gun battery isn't, you know, charged, so he brings it back to the charger and he goes to the car to drive to the hardware store, but the mom comes into the garage. He's under the car, covered in grease.
What are you doing? And he's under the car with the engine out of it, and he's like, I'm changing a light bulb.
That's good.
What does it look like? Yeah, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I did. I have to remind myself that just because I didn't write things down or check any of the boxes, that I did actually get laundry and trash.
I cooked meals and
cleaned up the kitchen with Jax and like grocery shopped and did things. Mm-hmm. But also, just try to...
Even if nothing got finished, everything moved one step closer to finished.
This is what I have to remind myself is fine.
You were working on several user stories at the same time, as opposed to completing one and moving it in.
Oh, my God. The nightmare that I live in right now. As an engineer, I am in the middle of long-term projects. I don't have any short-term projects right now.
Oh, sweetie.
I'm not getting that dopamine bump anytime soon.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Mm. Is there anything that you can break down into smaller stories so that you can
I mean, there are things I can break them? And then fix.
No.
I don't think that's going to do it, though.
But, like, if you have... Yeah. I assume you're agile?
I mean, in my younger days.
Yeah. No.
I mean, shortly
asshole.
After Fest, he probably needs to pop with a couple ibuprofen first.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, because you can always take a story and break it down into smaller segments, so that you can check those things off in a progressive way, and then you can see and feel where you are actually getting.
You can.
That's the whole point, really, of Agile is to be able to see forward.
So that
movement.
Your progress is more measurable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a work-related story after this.
Sure. But yeah, just got some things done around the house. I did not get done the two major things that I'm looking forward to having done. One of them is having the holiday lights up on the house, even if they are not lit for another month. The second one is painting the other half of my room so that I can actually assemble my workstation and like put my video game entertainment center together and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I did get lots of other things done.
Right.
Around that.
Yeah, and sometimes that's just what that is. It's still productivity.
Yeah. But I ended up having a really swell weekend. Going and seeing a bunch of things and hanging out at cool places. Well, O'Shaughnessy's had a Hallowhiskey event.
Oh, good.
And so I went there and enjoyed some of that.
Nice.
In support of my spouse, who was doing readings and selling various goods. And then I saw some movies at home with my friend Bear.
I don't understand the context. Bear, who is Bear?
Yeah, former co-host and Mystery Science Theater enthusiast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
And then
we all worked together way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I actually knew who Bear was. I was just very sad I didn't get the
appellation.
Rest of that.
So,
mountains.
I did that, and then I guess I saw some plays.
Yeah,
some kind of a
theatrical
theater
productions,
some kind of a theater thing going on in Minnesota, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Theater in the Twin Cities.
That seems like a strange concept.
Unlikely,
right?
Did you want to talk about that, or should I just start going into things and you can make commentary? Well,
Salsa had an extremely important story. And
yes, please do that.
It wasn't that. It was just a workplace story.
Oh,
it was
sure.
Just,
go for it.
I had a presentation today on a test plan to one of our clients for, you know, EDI is what I do.
Sure.
And
instead of ED, which was his former specialty.
Yeah. Mm. It's still my specialty. Let's not sell myself short.
I'm sure someone will.
Anyway.
I was talking with your wife earlier. She may have sold you shorts.
As long as she's selling me.
Yeah, ew.
No, it was just doing this presentation for a client today, and that in and of itself isn't unusual. I've done this a few times. However, one of the people employed at this company is this older Jewish guy named Shlomo with a thick German accent and a very, like, abrupt manner of speaking, like, just, like, straight to the point. And this all in and of itself is still not the reason that things are stressful. It's the fact that in EDI, when I say he wrote the book on EDI, what I mean is he was literally at the conference where they came up with the EDI standards.
Oh, all right.
So if he says we can do it, we can do it.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's no bullshit in that one.
Yeah, there is no, like, he has forgotten more about EDI than I will never know. He was just like, so I'm just like, don't fuck this up. Don't act, just whatever you do, do not embarrass yourself. Yep. And I got through it and everything was fine. And it was cool. But just like there for a moment, it was one of those, like, you know, I'm sitting there playing Stairway to Heaven in front of Hendrix right now.
Right. Yeah.
So
I'm doing magic for Penn and Teller.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just like, I'm going to embarrass myself and hopefully it's just not as bad as I fear.
So, but it went well?
It went well, yeah.
All right.
But it was just one of those workplace things. It was like,
oh God, this is awkward.
Yeah. Anyway, Jenna, I hear there was a little thing.
Just this tiny thing.
Okay.
You've probably never heard of it.
I probably haven't.
No.
A little town of which you've probably never heard.
So, yeah, Twin Cities Horror Festival happened over the course of the past 11 days,
what?
Bitches.
A horror festival?
Horror festival.
Oh, I'm less interested now.
Those are the people who provide the horrors.
No.
I would go to...
No, it's not.
The Twin Cities Horror Festival would be... What would that... What would that be like?
You know what? I'm not involved with that one.
A lot of leather, a lot of lace.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. So the Twin Cities Horror Festival. Horror Festival.
Horror.
Horror Festival. It took place over the past 11 days.
Yes. How did it go?
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Awesome.
Truly.
Seriously, it was incredible. We sold out 2 shows on our first night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We sold out 3 shows on our second night. We only had 4 shows up both of those nights, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, we had so
what
so
you're saying
many
is you could have done better.
Sellouts. No, we had so many sellouts.
That's true.
Well, like, last year, the studio shows we kind of don't count because it's like a half house
thing as
a sellout there.
Sure.
The studio seats 40, the main stage seats 80.
Yeah.
So it's way easier to sell out the studio shows. And last year, most of them did.
Yeah.
This year, most of them did. That was about the same. But last year, I think we only had 3 main stage shows sell out. Mm-hmm. And this year, I think it was like 20, 25, somewhere in there.
Nice.
Like, it was a fuck ton of sellouts. Yeah.
You did that in the first couple days.
Kind of. No, we had a bunch of sellouts just right out of the gate.
Nice.
It was incredible. I dragged my ass onto my computer at 7 a.m. for a meeting this morning, and because it's a half India team, and So one of the coworkers that's local was like, well, congratulations. I tried to buy tickets to your festival this weekend and everything was sold out. And I was like, yep, sure was. And he was like, I bet you're real tired. And I'm like, yep, sure I am. So yeah, like it was just incredible. All of the shows were fantastic. And I know, like, I have to say that because I'm the president of the board.
Sure.
But it's also accurate. Like, I am not blowing fluff on this one.
But also, they get a new president of the board and suddenly they sell everything out. So,
you know, whatever. I'm not even going to pretend that was me. honestly, my job is to make sure that we don't go bankrupt or get sued for anything. That is literally what the president of the board does. So, and so far has not happened. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
But yeah, so we had a new marketing director this year. And
get
she was
that person a raise.
Fucking incredible. She was the thing is, she didn't just post Twin Cities horror stuff. She also posted like some horror adjacent stuff also happening in the cities. So like a lot of people just came to our website to our Facebook page to see what the fuck was happening.
That's pretty rad.
And she found and reposted
somebody who's good at their job.
Everything that anybody said about the Twin Cities Horror Festival. She was on top of that shit. She had schedules out at noon every day. She was just so good. So yeah, there was. But the other thing about it is that the artists were talking up each other's stuff as well. So, like, and one of the things that's really nice about the Twin Cities Horror Festival, is that we only have one show happening at any given point in time. Even though we have the two theaters, we don't want Crossblade because they're in the same space. But also, that means that there's not, if there aren't two shows happening at the same time, you don't have to worry about, like, time slot competition.
Yeah,
right. Not that anybody's competing. It is definitely easy, assuming you can get a ticket, to see all of the shows in the Horror Festival. It's not that squish that the Fringe Festival can have, right?
Yeah.
So everybody was just, all of the artists were super supportive of each other. All the productions were cross-posting each other's productions. The artists were showing up for each other's shows, especially the shows that are harder to get people to come to, like the 10:30s. It was so beautifully encouraging to watch all of these groups interact and support each other, and it's just
rising tide.
And that really, I think, that was probably a strong suit in our sellouts too, like. Just everybody was like, oh, my show's sold out, but you should go see one of these other shows that's before or after my show or whatever.
It's fucking awesome.
Hey, I just got out of this show and it's incredible. Go see it. Like, stuff like that. It was great. It was so beautiful.
That's amazing. Especially this close after, like, the pandemic years to be able to get back into that fighting weight.
Well, and so we did, this year we were largely unmasked, but we did have a weekend and then an extra show. That was masked for accessibility.
Sure, perfect.
Right? So there was an opportunity for people, vulnerable people, to go see stuff if they were feeling up for it.
Yeah,
definitely.
And that was important to us. We're big on accessibility, so. So, yeah, I got to see all 11 shows. They were all incredible. I really want to talk about, like, each one. So I'm going to.
Excellent. yeah, I have heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if only you had a podcast.
Right. And a list of shows. So, and I'm just going to go down the list.
All right, buckle up, everyone.
Marie-Jean Vallée, who defeated La Bête du Gévaudan.
Gévaudan.
Gévaudan. Hifadon.
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 My favorite dinosaur.
That was Whining Sheet outfit. And they're known for their very beautiful, artistic, stylized stuff. There wasn't technically gore in that one, but they did use, like, red silks to show where blood was happening, things like that. They had a puppet show in the middle. But not like Muppets. It was like Shadow Puppet.
Oh, it was like
beautifully
gorgeous.
Artistically yeah. done. They have live music. And it was so good. So very good. I hadn't seen Brotherhood of the Wolves. Mm-hmm. Or if I did, I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes brain injuries are fun. But like,
I will absolutely sit down with you and watch that movie someday. Because right. I love that movie.
Joe said the same thing.
I love that movie fan. So much. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I didn't know much about this going into it. And it was fun to learn about. Everybody just acted stellar. Allison Vincent was basically the darling of the Fringe this year. She was in two shows. Mm. One of them was this one. And she played the king. And she played it a little bit like the Mad King in Hamilton, just kind of that, whatever.
King George, yeah.
The King George, oh, I've decided this, and we're going to have this delightful time, and now I will have you beheaded, kind of stuff. Like, just...
Delightful.
Oh, so fucking good. She's incredible. But it was a four-person ensemble, and, like, they all did rotate different characters sure. and whatnot, but... Yeah. It was so well done. The story was just, it was just beautiful.
Fantastic. It was gorgeous.
And yeah, definitely, I'm going to say one of the top shows, and they're all kind of top shows, so whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, that one, A+.
Yeah.
Just hands down. You're going to
pull a Gurr here and be like, this is my favorite show. No, wait, this is my favorite show.
Right.
No, it's like, my favorite show.
I told people I have a top three and I'm not going to tell anybody what those top three are. because honestly, some of them swap around in my mind a little bit.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that was lovely. And always go see Whining Sheet Outfit. Just always do.
Yeah.
They are so good. Their
if they remount the show,
incredible.
I would see it again.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes.
Definitely one of those names that pops up a lot.
So the next one on this list is Girls in Bins, the Rachel Teagle Effect. Rachel Teagle, I know more for storytelling. And I believe this may have been her first foray into horror. I'm not 100% certain on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna read this one.
Okay.
A high-risk pregnancy and a cross-country move have left Ruth even more anxious than usual. Trapped in her house with nothing to do but listen to true crime podcasts, Ruth is startled to discover a case that hits a bit too close to home. Will she be able to untangle herself from her own nightmares? This can't be good for the baby. And it is. It's basically the stage is just a bunch of those black bins with the yellow lids. The wife has moved cross country into her husband's uncle's house that they're just getting or something. Like it's been abandoned for a little bit, so they're just moving into it.
Sure.
And yeah, I don't know if it's spoilery. It's not like you can go see it now, but
she
might.
Is this more of a psychological?
It is definitely, definitely plays on psychological. There was some gore elements, but it was rather toned down. There was one effect, though, that was fucking freaky. And so I will talk about this effect. I can't not. So she's pregnant. And at one point, she's having kind of like an in-and-out dream type thing. And you know how you can see a baby move in a mother's stomach sometimes? Yeah, we got to see a lot of movement coming from her stomach in
this
a
was
very
full chest burster.
Weird, surreal way. Bit. It did not burst out.
Right,
but
yeah,
like,
but
the way it was moving
sure.
was just like fucking incredible.
Mm.
And it was so well done. And I'm not 100% certain how they did it. I have an idea, but no, that was just, it was really well done. It was also directed by, Jenny, sibling to Stefan Senpai.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we talked about it a bit afterwards and just how much fun she had trying to figure out those different effects.
Mm.
And yeah, it was Suzanne Cross was in it.
Mm. Yes.
And she is always a delight in any show she's in. Truly. She's just, and Suzanne like didn't get to work with a lot of these people before, and she's like, and Jenny was just such a delight. And Shay was just such a delight. And Siri was just such a delight. And Ben was just such a delight. And I'm like, so everybody was delightful, is what you're telling me. Yeah. It was a delightful time.
Yep. Everybody was.
But I'm like, you're right. They are all delightful people. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's just been such a good experience. So, yeah. And yeah, it was psychological. There's a little bit of psychological abuse.
Yeah.
Kind of things that happen within it.
Okay. It was very Hitchcock-like for the tension.
It felt lighter to me, but like I can see where you're going with it, where there were some aspects that were kind of Hitchcocky.
Right.
Hitchcocky. Okay.
Yeah.
I like Hitchcocky. That's a good word. Mm-hmm. All right, yep, the next one.
No notes.
Next one is Choices by Dangerous Productions.
Choices.
Dangerous Productions is known for their blood, and they did not disappoint.
All right.
There was a slashing of a stomach and guts spilling out. There was a cutting out of someone's tongue. Content warning, I guess.
oh, wow.
Shit. There were several other.
Oh yeah!
Blood
by the way, go back in time and don't listen to that.
Oh my God! No, this one's real. Plug your ears if you don't like eyeball stuff. But there was a dangling eyeball out of a socket at one point. Like that's this neat. Was. They went pretty hard on this stuff, and yeah, it was very much so a good Dangerous Productions gore thing, but what was. Extra bonus is the way they did scene changes. One of the story subplots is that the generator keeps going out. They're like in the middle of the woods and this generator keeps going out, so like there's all these blackouts and they keep using their phone flashlights to like look around or do things or whatever, right? But the story was also interweaving the now with some past elements. And so the phone flashlight would go out, and sometimes it was still back in the same moment. Sometimes it would go back. You didn't quite know what they were going to do with that scene at any given point in time, which was great. But there were a few times where they went to do the scene changes. The lights come back on, and it's somebody else holding the phone. And you never saw the switch.
Wow.
Like, I watched it twice to see if I could catch when the phone pass-off was happening. Never caught it.
Just a smooth transition.
Just a smooth transition.
That's fucking wild. Nice.
It was so well done. Oh, my God. It was a beautiful technique. And, yeah, it was gloriously, like, technically done and also gloriously gory. And that's everything that I want from my Dangerous Production. So I was very happy with that one. Lock-in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read this one. Gabriel, a trans Latinx pastor, is new to Bethel Lutheran Church. In his quest to unlock a century-old mystery, he invites back the 1985 youth group for an adult lock-in. And yeah, so this one was done in the studio space, and I would have liked to have seen it in a larger space because they did have a very large cast, and they had a lot going on. But it was still a good, fun story. It was basically, I don't know, there was like a demon summoning, and one of the people was possessed by a demon, and there were some blood effects.
Like you do.
There was, and some of it was kind of like almost B-movie level stuff, but like purposefully.
Sure.
There was a Ouija board that was made on the wood of the cross that Jesus was crucified on, and I just lost my shit at that line. I was just like, of course it is! Of course it is!
Yep.
let's go, where's the top? Over there? Let's go over it.
Right, yeah. So it was.
Excuse me, shark.
Yeah, it was gloriously chaotic and over the top in specific moments. There was some LGBT subplots mm-hmm. that happened that were nice to see. All in all, like, it was just kind of a fun, gory time.
I mean, it sounds like all of my shut-ins, so.
But lock-ins.
You're still yes. possessed by a demon, though, so whatever.
You're still a shut-in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Speaking of silly fun, The Hand That Washed Ashore.
Mm. Yes.
This is the one that was, it's basically a cleanup crew along, for an island along Lake Superior. They come across a chest that somebody says, oh God, don't open it. No, like a trunk chest.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, not, oh my God, you guys. Tired of you. Anyway.
Fair enough.
I don't have the energy for your bullshit. Why am I here? Okay, so anyway, no, but somebody's like, don't open that chest because it those initials reminds me of the story of this one ship captain
How that convenient.
Went crazy, blah, 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 blah. Ooh. And so they open the chest, and a guy gets pulled into it, and then comes out, like, in kind of a shock, crazy thing. The whole premise is that it's a possessed hand.
Oh.
And the hand is out to kill everybody. And
so it's like Thing.
And they had, it was really well done. The first guy ended up strangling himself with his own hand being the one that was possessed. And then that possession transferred over to another person who cut off her hand.
Uh-huh.
And like tried to get rid of it, but it escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was basically a guy all in black with just the hand doing the hand
gotcha.
Thing. And his movement was so good. It was so good. Like, I forgot there was a dude attached to that hand. It was fantastic.
Full kabuki theater shit going on.
Yeah, but like, I literally forgot there was a dude attached to it. Oh my God.
Took me a second.
I hate you both. I fucking hate you both.
I got there.
All right.
Fuck. Anyway. So it was comedy horror. There was some blood effects.
Mm.
And I was hanging out with a couple of super fans for the horror festival. And one of them was like, oh, they put a tarp down. And the other one was like, well, this is going to be good. Like, that's just a sign.
Yep.
I'm just about to, like, I feel like at this point, just for the horror festival, just put a tarp down. Just default setting is just put a tarp down.
In the future, I'm going to do a show that has no blood effect, and I'm just going to put a tarp down.
Like, I feel like, again, default setting. Just put a tarp down.
Just eating crackers the entire show, and you're like, what? It helps with cleanup.
<That's> Gross. Anyway, so yeah, that was delightful fun. I enjoyed it immensely. I felt like the entire thing was one long Shaggy Dog joke, though. Because at the very end, there's the one lone survivor, right? And she's the one that cut off her hand, and now she's got this stump. And somebody shows up to rescue her, and he goes, hey there, are you all right? Do you need a hand? And that was it.
Oh.
And I was like, I managed to be quiet, but I was like, son of a bitch.
I'm so happy right now.
I'm so mad.
I want to stress this point. Jenna's angry, and that's why I'm so happy right now.
I hate you guys so much.
I'm but, sad I missed this show.
Yeah, you would have liked this show for a variety of reasons.
Like,
variety of reasons you would have enjoyed this one. Yeah. So that pissed me off, but like in the way where I was still entertained and pissed, really well done.
Jenna would be like, one star. If it had ended 5 seconds earlier, it would have been 5 stars.
Yeah, I hated it. It was awful. I was so done with it at the end. That fucking ending line just really ruined it for me. 5 stars. Anyway, next up is Rasputin by Four Humors.
Yes.
Four Humors being one of the founding companies of the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a show on Rasputin. And it was glorious. One of the things that Four Humors does incredibly well is they get you comfortable. They get you relaxed. You are enjoying yourself. There is silly, wacky stuff happening on stage, and then bam! They fuck you over.
Gotcha.
With whatever horror is happening. And so Rasputin, it was the three people, I'm not going to be able to remember the characters, but they're each, the premise is that they're talking to the Inquisitors and they're addressing the audience as the Inquisitors, and they're like, well, here's how it went down. And so they each tell their perspective of the story. And the first one is like, we didn't kill Rasputin. He killed himself. Here's how all of this happened. Whatever. And then the second one comes up and he tells his version. Yes, we killed Rasputin, but we had to for Mother Russia, blah, 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 blah. He gets to the end of his version and is like, oh, you already talked to so-and-so? What did they say? Oh, shit, that's way better than mine. Can I change my... Like, it's just that kind of a thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
All of this comedy. And then the third one comes up to tell his story, and he's very shaken, and he's like, Rasputin can't be killed. He's not dead. He can't be killed. And what we find from his version of the story is that Rasputin is actually possessed by a demon. And the demon can hypnotize the others into thinking whatever it is they want. And the demon is tired of living in the specific body and needs to be killed in order to escape.
Gotcha.
And so this one guy is refusing to kill him, and Rasputin is basically making him do these things to kill. He needs to be killed five times, which is why he was shot, poisoned, hung, stabbed, drowned, right? And that will release this demon so he can go out and find somebody else. And the very, very beginning of the show starts with like a little boy calling out to his mama, and then you just see like a foomph, and then nothing. And then you end up forgetting that that happened until you get to the end of the story when the demon has been released. And they did a lovely visual on this with a projection of just like this green smoky thing on the back wall. And then you get to the very last one was a little boy calling out about mom. And then the spirit goes, just kind of does a foomph. And the mom calls out from the car, Joseph! Joseph, time to come in. And you see him turn, and he's like, possessed. It's a Stalin reference. And it's just so, like, it just went dark. Real fucking quick in the last 5 minutes of the show. But then there were other moments, too. They did a gunshot. Like, somebody shot Rasputin in the head, and there was a blood effect that splattered back to the wall behind his head. Real quick, and you were like, holy shit. And the other characters on the stage are like, holy shit, holy shit, oh fuck, holy shit, to the point where it becomes funny again. Right? So, like, these characters
really
are taking
with your emotions.
They play with it so well. They are so good at this stuff. Also, there was a dance number that happened because Rasputin can puppetry people, and so they did a dance to Rasputin.
Yeah.
Rasputin.
Yep.
Lover of the Russian queen.
And they had white gloves, and they turned off the lights with some UV. And so it was fucking stupid. It should not have worked, but it did. And I am mad about that.
But they are masters of their craft.
Oh, it was so good. It was so fucking good. They, of course, sold out all of their shows. So, well, four out of the five. The one of them was missed sellout by like three seats or something. So.
That's close enough.
Yeah. So, yeah,
like
that
if you die at 99, you were 100.
Yeah. Let's see. Then we had Songversations. We've been told we will burn. That is Shannon Custer and, oh, God, what's her name? Rihanna, I think. Rhiannon something. I can't remember her last name. But anyway, yeah, so that was the two of them. They do kind of like a mixed media and singing type thing. And they did a thing on witches. But it was very specifically feminist focused. They told stories about feminist women of the past and how they were seen as witches or persecuted as such just for being feminist. They did a thing on Sinead O'Connor. They actually did a ritual as a part of their thing. And it was very lovely, but also kind of like this group community binding thing, right? Like we all kind of became part of this group that saw this thing. And it was just neat. Neat is the word I'm going to use for it. They had a lot of projection. They had, and again, they did some songs. One of them is Shut the Fuck Up, which just anytime I was out in the lobby and I heard it, I was just singing along with it.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. It was just delightful and fun.
I got chills during that show. It was.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Were they multiplying?
No. No, just adding.
Were you losing control?
No. The opposite of that.
Was the power they were supplying electrifying?
A little bit.
Actually.
That, okay.
Yeah,
that
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah. And they're just lovely, delightful people. So.
Truly.
That was just fun to just share time with them, really.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Next one is Ghost in the Machine by Snicked Bamf Thwipt. That is Tim Wick's company.
Mm-hmm.
It was his first time writing.
I've heard of that person.
Yeah. Artificial intelligence. True artificial intelligence is impossible. You can't create a computer that thinks like a human brain. But what if the computer had a human brain? And what if that human wanted their brain back? Yep, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that Tim wrote the show, there were so many drops that led into how everything came about. It was really well done. And it was one of those, like, slow burns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you're just kind of sitting there, and there's a story, and the characters are having relationships, and you're getting into the story of the thing. And then you get the horror of the situation. And then there's more horror in that shit. And you just keep finding more and more horrific things, and then more horror happens. And then nobody wins at the end, and it's awful. And it was really well done. I mean, it's... That one is one of my top three.
Yeah, I could see that.
Absolutely. And it's one of those ones that people would think about later. I ended up seeing it twice, and seeing it the second time, I even picked up on more things, like little subtle drops that happened over the course of it that I hadn't picked up the first time. There's a key thing, and I was like, oh, son of a bitch. That was dropped. And this other... It was... Just all of these little tiny, almost mystery things
that
fed into the situation. Basically there's an AI that is also connected to a human who is in incredible pain the entire time. but then not just one human, many humans. And there was one of the drops was, I would not Skynet. I don't understand why somebody would want to be alone. If I was going to take over the world, it would be more like Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a drop that happened real early, and then you forget about it. Mm-hmm. And then later, there's a bunch of people hooked up to this thing, and you're like, oh, God, it was right there.
Yeah.
It was really good. And all of the acting was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Don, Alora, Philip, like... I don't think I know the Emma.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen her a couple of times. She was fantastic. At one point, she had to emulate Dawn. And she did a really good job of it. I was like, oh, that could be done in that body. Shit. Yeah. Super good.
No, I know Tim has done a lot of mystery writing over the past 10 years or so, doing the Mystery Lodge stuff like that. So what you're describing it sounds like the mystery seating, it sounds like.
Yeah, just I think he pulled over some of those skills, but it was more than just a mystery adaptation. Mm. It was definitely
yeah, but way more. I can see those skills definitely applying to dropping those little hints leading up to it.
Well, and I think he does that with a lot of his comedies, too, fair. Honestly. Like, seating is just a thing that Tim Wick is really good at doing in his writing. But yeah, everybody did a fantastic job. There was no gore. There did not need to be gore in this one.
Just pure psychological.
It was psychological.
It was
fuck you
body
up.
Horror. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It was
very literally.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that gets remounted, I spoiled the ending for you, but go watch it anyway. I watched it twice. It was worth watching twice.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Then there was Kin by Special When Lit. That was another psychological one, but also had a bunch of gore.
Mm.
It was lovely. Here's the thing. Shannon Custer is one of the sweetest ladies on the planet. Mm-hmm. She is so kind and so nice and so encouraging to everybody. And in this one, she played basically an evil mom.
Mm-hmm.
And in the writing were some phrases that I heard my own mom say, or similar enough. And I was like, oh, fuck. And afterwards, I ran into Shannon afterwards. I'm like, I'm gonna be afraid of you for the next 15 minutes before I can get over the fact that that wasn't, but that's what happened. Like, she played that so fucking well. And of course, Nyssa played her daughter, and so they got to play off of that. There was also a romantic interest, and we got to see some pretty hardcore lesbian action. So, that was fun as well. They did not hold back on much of that. It wasn't, whatever. But, it was more than what a lot of theater people will do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
As far as that. And they did have an intimacy person for all of that.
Sure.
And,
I figured.
It was really good.
But that is a relief. Yeah.
The premise included a werewolf thing, right? A werewolfy kind of thing. The werewolf aspect was a good way of talking about change and wanting to break away from your pack kind of thing, wanting to break away from what the rest of your people do or your family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, it was the wonderful cracker that delivered the actual meat of the story.
Gotcha.
For me.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful. I think I have two more left. Overton. So the Overton Bridge in Scotland is also known as the Dog Suicide Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm a little nervous to see this one because I don't want to see dogs die. That's not... It's just sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turns out it was much more like a British comedy.
Oh.
About Dog Suicide Bridge.
Huh. I'm intrigued.
It was a lot of fast repartee and wordplay and a little bit of that British wackiness thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
Things going over the top in some ways and being completely deadpan in others. I saw this one sitting next to Duck Washington. And there were so many puns. So many puns. At one point, they were having a straight up dog pun off. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm feeling Duck watching me and having the time of his life watching me be like, oh, fuck. Oh, God. Why though? What? Oh.
So what you're saying is between this and the hand that washes ashore, those were your favorite.
Yeah, well, and I saw those back to back, too. Which was the fucking kicker in that one.
Well, thank God I'm done with that. Now I can go see... fuck.
Yeah. Like, I just... No, Overton is the one where I was like, goddamn son of a bitch. And it was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, technically, it was very well done, which kind of made me hate it more. Like, don't be good at this. God damn it. So, yeah, and it was three different stories of, like, different ideas of why the dogs would be jumping off the bridge. One was a scientist, one was a priest, one was the mayor of the town, and... they all had their different aliens. Theories, and none of them got confirmed for anything. But we got to watch how all of that kind of interwove through into a nexus. And, yeah, there were a lot of puns. That's really what I took away from that one. They had, as they were talking about, like, giving the setup for everything, they had a projector.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a picture of the bridge, and then they had a picture of a dog, and I was like, oh, what are they going to do with this?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And they showed just, like, fucking the shittiest, like, just the dog, like, the cutout picture of the dog jumping off of the bridge, and then, like, crashing, and then there's, like, the most slapsticky, like, blood splatter and fire and whatever. And at one point, they have a dog, and they keep having these different dogs, quote, jump, and it just gets sillier and sillier. At one point, it's a hot dog that just jumps over the... Like, it was so ridiculous. There was no way to be like, oh... Because you were like, okay, this is just wacky.
Sure.
So, yeah. No, that was absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
In all of the ways that I hate. And then... it's true. It was really fucking well done, and I'm mad about it. And then the last show was Shadows Under Wabasha, my Hot Chocolate Media. You might...
Last but not least, and also not most.
Surprisingly, wow. Surprisingly, after Overton, this one did not have puns.
No puns.
And I was just like. Kyle, buddy.
wait, so Tim's didn't have jokes and Kyle's didn't have puns.
I don't think there were any puns in Kyle's. I know.
No,
right?
There were none.
Yeah, and the dog suicide one had all of the puns. Yep. It's just weird. Topsy turvy world. Cats and dogs living together. or
jumping off the bridge.
But no, so. Shadows Under Wabasha has a historical premise that Kyle went a little eldritch horror with, basically. And it's four gang members are trapped in the caves of Wabasha. It's a heist gone awry kind of situation, and so they're just trying to wait it out. And then they can't wait it out. And they discover, like, there were a couple of elements. There was, one of them had seen a creature before they came back into, the caves. There was a rock, that basically possessed people and made them do things. And it was kind of like this combination of different eldritch horror concepts. And basically everybody killed each other.
A million.
Yeah. But in some of the most delightful, horrific ways possible.
I gasped.
Yeah. The fight choreography was done by Nell and Kate. And it was impressive.
Yeah.
I believe it. Visceral.
One of the first violence things that happens, like there's a little bit of pushing, and there may have been a slap or a punch beforehand. I don't remember 100%. But one of the first things that happens is the lantern goes out. So we're in a blackout. Somebody finally gets the lantern up and going, and the light comes on, and there's a slit throat, and somebody's like grabbing their throat and just like,
yeah, at first, as an audience member, I was like, is the character choking? Are they choking themselves? Is there what is? Yeah. Are they possessed or what?
And then the hand blood moves,
keeps.
And like, there's just blood, and there's so much of it. Oh my God! It was very well done. Very impressive blood work. But yeah, there were some knockout fights, kind of literal knockout fights. And yeah, it was a very fun premise. All of the actors did an incredible job. The violence was great. I would have liked to have seen it, also this one in a little bit larger space.
Yeah.
Because even with four actors, that space is small.
It is a teeny space, yes.
And I think some of the violence, if it was removed just a little bit more, would have actually played better.
Could have benefited from the distance, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it was still fantastic. Like, it was still really solid work, and I really enjoyed that one as well. Like, I've told people before, there were no bad shows.
Yeah.
All of the shows were fantastic. Only bad shows. Even the shows full of puns were fantastic.
We've got that on tape.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep. All right, that's a wrap, everybody.
Jenna said it out loud. We can wrap this
I
up now.
I hate everybody. Yeah.
This has all been a long con to get Jenna to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So anyway, but yeah, it was fantastic, and God damn it. Like, this festival has basically just spoiled me. It's such a fun, wonderful community. So much good shows. The audience, the returning audience, new audience, they're all fantastic. I got to meet Jenny and Stefan's parents because they came to see the show. And
that's delightful.
Yeah. And theirs. Just so delightful. They're wonderful. So yeah, basically we just talked about how awesome Stefan and Jenny are. And fair. All of the grandbabies. yeah. And yeah, like I got to meet people and hang out and have community and have my extrovert side is just weirdly completely sated right now, which never happens. I have seen enough people for a few days at least. So, like...
Until right about now.
To be fair, you two don't count as people.
Yeah.
No, that's also very true.
Yeah, no, she's show spoiled. She's going to be impossible to live with from now on. And when I say from now on, I mean always.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She's looking at this show right now going, amateurs.
Yes.
I mean,
yes. Always.
Well, we are. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
We're rank professionals.
Yeah. We're pretty rank.
Yep. So I will say lessons learned for next year. If you want to attend the horror festival,
buy your tickets now.
Reserve your tickets.
Yep.
Reserve your goddamn tickets.
I managed to see five shows, and that was narrow.
I
just barely eked out tickets.
Right.
To, I want to say, minimum two, but probably three of those shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, tickets will probably go live mid-September, so mark your calendars now.
Mark it now.
It was an amazing festival.
Anything else, or should we take a break?
I mean, I feel like I've been talking for quite a while, and I have no more hot toddy, so...
We should re-toddy.
Yes.
Re-toddy.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Excuse me. I made steak, bacon wrapped steak and Brussels sprouts yesterday, and this morning was just like a long, low series of farts for me.
I've been eating Taco Bell pretty much nonstop for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's right there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm keeping myself warm.
Oh. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm warm.
You sure are.
Look, I'm technically a lady. It is ladylike. Deal with it.
I thought there was a certain knack to the air today.
She's a lady.
Whoa! She's a lady.
Yeah, ooh. I fart like a lady.
Oh my god! It is so time for a fast like five.
Fast five.
Today's fast five comes to us from.
Introduce yourself.
James.
Yay!
Send us five fast fives, assholes.
This is another one of those situations where I feel I was concerned that Salsa may have actually forgotten. Like in the...
Man, I've been trying for years, so that Salsa was finally able to achieve what I have not.
Look, if one of us is going to do it, it's definitely going to be Salsa.
Who are you? Mm. What are you doing in Salsa's house?
I was going for the dramatic reveal, but forgetfulness is also an option, I suppose.
Good.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
So, fast five. Question number one. Sheet or plastic?
What do you drop when you're painting? What do you,
I mean, I can tell you my answer, but do you want me to do that after you pick?
Yeah, after we do it.
Yeah, I figured.
I don't want to be influenced by you, ever.
I was going to say, I don't see that happening anyway.
I'm a traditionalist, so I think the ghost using a white sheet, as opposed to going with some cheap plastic knockoff. Right. Is the way to go. So,
what about capes?
No capes.
No capes.
No capes.
But yeah, sheet or plastic? We are buttoned up against Halloween.
Butts.
Nope, you're on your
butts and cunts and butts and cunts.
Okay. So anyway, sheet or plastic? Jesus Christ.
Have you been busy recently? Using your brain power for something?
I'm done. Actually, the plastic goes over the sheets, so you don't mess up the sheets.
Plastic goes over the sheets?
Yeah, the tarp that you put down to catch the blood.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
In a horror show.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like sheet metal versus plastic.
Could be.
I tend to cover leftovers with plastic as opposed to aluminum foil.
With aluminum foil.
Foil.
So... Yeah, I tend to use more containers than I do foil. Foil is usually for weird shit or full plates.
Yeah, if it doesn't fit in the thing, yeah.
I have so many leftover takeout containers for just so much. It frustrates Joe because he can never find the right lid for the right thing. And I'm like, no, it's obviously that one. And he's like, I can't tell. Thing. It's all black base. And
I can see that angering him. Thing.
Oh, he's so mad. He's like, I'm going to go through this. I'm like, do whatever makes you happy, baby. I
absolutely see him being upset about that.
Just do whatever makes you happy.
You watch those get frisbeed out onto the lawn. Well, that made me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe is definitely a plastic wrap and a foil person, and I am definitely a Tupperware person. But I don't think that's the context. I think... I think it's which makes a better cape, and I'm going to go with sheet.
Okay.
All right. I will also go sheet.
All right.
Fast five, question number two. Foil or twist?
God damn it. I chose poorly. Foil or twist?
Foil or twist?
I prefer... No, that doesn't make any sense. Well, what
It probably is the correct context, because this is one of my questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It doesn't have to make sense to be accurate.
I mean, I was going to say I prefer leftovers that you have to cover with a foil, generally over, like, anything that you would put in a bag and use a twisty tie for. Because usually you foil leftovers or things like leftover turkey, which is stuffing. Delicious. Right?
My mouth watered fully.
Mm-hmm. God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Foil or twist?
Foil or twist?
Do you prefer a show to have one specific foil? Or do you prefer your shows to have a dramatic twist at the end? And I'm going to go with twist. But it has to be done well.
Salsa?
I was kind of going in that direction a little bit, too. But more along the lines of foiling a plan. As opposed to, like... And having a twist ending or something like that. I'm going to go foil.
All right. And you, James?
I'm going to go twist.
Come on, baby.
Let's do the twist. All right. Fast five. Question number three. Tire or stride?
I tire easily.
The irony.
But I also have a long stride.
Oh, I have the tiniest stride ever.
I have a fast, long stride. Because my father had a fast, long stride. And so as a child, I needed to develop a fast, long stride to keep up with my father. And now that I am older, my stride did not get shorter or slower, which means the longer legs just makes me faster. And now my kids have a hard time keeping up with me. And the cycle repeats itself. But I'm also lazy.
So right.
Tire.
I am much more likely to get tired of all of your shenanigans than to take them in stride. So I'm going tire.
I'm also obsessive, though, so I don't tire out easily. I do take things in stride. Ooh. Yeah, I think I take things in stride. Yeah, go on stride.
I will go tire.
All right.
All right. Fast five, question number four. Bobby or pin?
Not a bobby pin.
Nope, the London police.
Mm.
Or
bowling targets. Bobby or pin?
No, see, I just have bobby pin in my head now. Mm-hmm. That's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You're annoying.
I had bobby pin in my head, too. That's why this question got written.
I'm going with bobby.
I'm going with pin.
Because it's just fun to say.
Hmm. I will often put a pin in it, so.
Bobby.
Pin.
Bobby.
Pin.
I'm going to say pin.
Bobby.
Pin.
Putting a pin in things is something that I do not do.
I am also fucking miserable at that.
Oh, Joe and I will have conversations where we've got like five different pins each, and we are somehow able to go back through all of them and reconnect to those various pins. I love my boyfriend. Bobby. He can keep up with me.
All right.
Bobby.
Fast five. Question number five. Five. Lucid or opaque?
Bobby.
Pin.
Opaque.
Yeah?
When you dream, is it a very lucid dream or does it kind of fade? Is it kind of fadey?
Like, there are so many people that want to lucid dream, and I'm like, no, I'm asleep. I don't want to do any more.
I don't want to do that work.
why would I want to be conscious and awake when I'm sleeping?
Salsa, famously lazy.
Yes.
I things that surprise nobody. I have very narrative dreams. Like, if I'm having a narrative dream, I would like to be able to know what the fuck is going on with my own story. So that would probably be a lucid thing. But I also, there's something about when you just wake up and you know you were dreaming, but it's all kind of fadey. And you keep, like, trying to grasp for what it was that you were dreaming about. I hate that. It drives me insane.
Weird.
Then I get up out of frustration, so I'm going to go lucid.
I have on occasion lucid dreamed. And it's a fucked up experience, honestly. And it takes a huge amount of practice to be able to do anything in your dream when you realize you're dreaming without waking yourself up. Like, if I tried flying in a lucid dream, and it's hard, weirdly, very difficult.
I've definitely had those dreams where you're trying to fly and struggling with it.
Well, like, I would hear the music that was playing in my bedroom when I went to sleep, and I'd be like, oh, I'm in the middle of a dream. I'm going to jump off of this tall thing and fly. And then the ground comes rocketing at you. And that is upsetting.
Oh, not that. I mean, I know I can fly, but I, like, jump, and then I, like, hover, and then, like, sink, and I'm just like, no,
come on. Yes.
I never have problems flying in my dreams.
Weird.
That, yeah.
I can tell you, though, whatever you do, do not fall asleep watching Invader Zim. And wake up during the Christmas episode.
Oh, Jesus.
Because you will not know if you're still asleep or not.
Yeah. Bow down.
Bow like, down. What is going on right
before
now?
Before the might of Santa.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with... what were the options?
Again? Lucid or opaque.
Yeah, I'm going to go opaque.
All right.
I'm going to go lucid.
All right.
All right. Ready for the context?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Join us next episode when I tell you the context.
Oh, shut your whore mouth. I will end you. Wait, don't shut your whore mouth.
All right. Oh.
How do you tell Sid that the answer is Lou.
So, sheet or plastic, in a rush, weirdly, very close to what you said, in a rush, are you more likely to choose homemade costumes, like a bedsheet toga or ghost costume, or a cheap disposable costume?
Oh.
Something I already have 18 million costumes, so...
Yeah, we've got a closet.
I guess homemade?
Sure. Yeah. But if you did not have access to... If you were on vacation somewhere and you had to come up with a costume very quickly...
I would go to Goodwill or Savers.
So more of a homemade costume.
Yeah, it kind of... I think it would depend on what specifically the occasion was.
Halloween, let's say.
Yeah, but like, what is the occasion?
Halloween is costume
party. Is it a, like...
Yeah, is it, are there going to be prizes for this costume thing? Do I need to impress anybody?
Oh, that's a fair question.
Like, there's a lot of variables that actually go into that for me.
Well, fair enough.
But I'll probably just buy something.
Okay.
If you put a Savers and a Spirit Halloween next to each other and said you have 15 minutes to find a Halloween costume, I would go into Savers.
Same. Unless I knew that there was something extraordinarily niche and specific that I had to obtain.
I would actually probably go into the Spirit Halloween. But I love getting real kitschy shit from Spirit Halloween. Fair enough.
No shade on Spirit Halloween. I picked two emblematic stores of the two.
No, I absolutely agree with the two stores that you chose. I just think I am more like, if I only have 15 minutes, definitely Spirit Halloween.
I mean, yeah, because you go in, you look, you find a bag, you look at the size.
If I'm going to Savers, I'm spending 5 hours in there regardless.
Don't have that problem.
Yeah, I do. I have to try on everything. What if it's that one dress, which one time it was that one dress, and it was amazing. I wore that thing for 10 years.
The fall and spring jacket that I wore this evening is from a Savers, bought last minute.
Yeah.
Well, I was on my way to an ice arena. So, yeah. All right. I chose sheet also. I spent a lot of my childhood with, like, very hastily made Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
It was not in the forefront of our mind. Question number two, foil or twist? Of the very common quick and dirty costume ideas, which is more appealing to you? The aluminum foil baked potato costume or the twister board Wonder Bread costume?
I didn't know either of those were a thing. I can picture
the baked potato one, but the other one I don't know.
Oh, if you have a twister board, the spotted background looks kind of like Wonder Bread.
Vaguely like Wonder Bread, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the background of Wonder Bread label.
Yeah.
So
I haven't seen a Wonder Bread bag in decades.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I guess potato.
Okay. I have to go with potato, I think.
Yeah. So you each chose foil, I think, on that question.
No, I think I actually chose twist the first time.
You chose twist.
Oh, I chose twist, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I chose twist because I like a story to have a twist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, thank you. I did not write down your responses.
That's fine.
How dare you?
I know.
I don't think it's that important, James.
Tire or stride, question number three. Mm-hmm. When getting candy... As a child, did you walk mostly, or were you driven?
Well, in the blizzard of 91, we were...
Oh, my God, here it comes again.
I knew it! we were driven to a mall to do our trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Huh? But no, we mostly walked.
The prerequisite fucking blizzards.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, scratch true that off Minnesota your bingo card,
right
everyone.
Here, bitches. Yeah,
there it is. The fucking free space in Minnesota.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought the Vikings losing was the free space.
Oh, it's never free. We're still paying taxes on that stadium.
What cost? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But, no, like I will say, I'm, I enjoyed, especially with Jessa growing up, doing the walking and the trick-or-treating, because I did it with a friend who also had kids, and we would bring spicy water, and the kids would trick-or-treat, and we would, like, just, because we live two blocks away from each other, so kids would trick-or-treat, and we'd just be sipping our spicy water out of our spicy water bottles. And I just, I had another adult to talk to, and so we didn't, like, driving around just seemed silly.
But, yeah. So. Plus, I mean, you get to drink spicy water. So,
whatever you gotta do to keep warm, baby.
Growing up on a horse farm, if they had sent us out to walk and trick or treat, this might be why you were laughing.
I know that's why he was laughing.
100% why.
Like,
I was
the closest house to you was like 3 miles away or some shit.
I mean, it was like 3/4 of a mile, but still, walking was not an option.
The benefit was very few kids trick or treated in my neighborhood. So, those old folks, one, were deeply invested in your costume, two, full-size candy bars.
Or, of course,
fucking fistfuls. Handfuls.
No, we would drive over to the neighbor's place, and, you know, and then we'd go back home, and then the neighbors would come to our place. And, I mean, it was, like, this is...
That's just wonderful.
Yeah, there was... In the, you know, hour or so that we went trick-or-treating, we would maybe hit 6 or 7 places.
Yep.
Right.
Because the rest was just travel time.
I can imagine that my parents must, on some Halloweens, have been tempted to just say, why don't you go trick-or-treating? And let us make it to one house and come back just, like, bedraggled, half dead. But, yeah.
Inner city kid.
Yep. No. Every so often, depending on like if the weather was good or if we had school tomorrow or things like that, every so often we would go into town and we would walk around a small neighborhood, like up a street and down a street. But then it was time to go back home already.
Yeah. I think I did that once, and it was only because the neighbors offered to bring me with their kids.
Oh, okay.
I will say, Mom generally drove us to other neighborhoods to do our trick or treating because our neighborhood was not a very safe neighborhood.
Yeah, no, we would, like, my parents would go and
murder discount houses.
No, we would go to, like, my grandmother's house and, you know, start there, and then, you know, and then it was also not just trick or treating in town, but also visiting grandma.
Aww. Oh, sure.
So the grandparents could get a picture of our
Your grandparents were alive.
Aww. Yep.
All right. Bobby or Pin, at kids' Halloween parties, which game do you see turning tragic more quickly, bobbing for apples or pinning the tail?
Wait, say that again?
I don't know how you're doing either of those, but...
Bobbing for apples.
Say the whole thing again.
How they're tragic is beyond me.
Like, which one do you see the possibility of turning tragic more quickly?
Bobbing for apples or pin the tail?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how you're doing either of those activities, but...
I can see, like, pin the tail because somebody's blindfolded, so they could, like, I don't know, bump into someone or something, and that could go poorly. But, like, bobbing for apples, like... Unless somebody's holding somebody's head down in water, your body is very quickly going to not want to be there.
I'm thinking, like, kids float for the most part. They're pretty safe.
How are you bobbing for apples?
Are you in the pool? Like, what are you doing?
What?
No, like, I feel like bobbing for apples is pretty... That's why I chose pin. Because, like, a kid could lose an eye.
What? I just... What?
I'm going to go pin, and we're going to move on and never speak of this again.
I have 5 questions.
we will never speak of this again.
All right. Keep
Lucid
going.
Or opaque? Is your best candy memory about a primarily sugar, like transparent crystal candy, or a chocolate, which is opaque?
I really have a candy memory.
Oh, I do.
I mean, unless you count last week when Joe bought me some chocolate.
I mean, that's so, I feel like that's fair. I'm so sugar is lucid?
Because it's translucent.
Okay.
Right. Yep. No, I,
I'm sorry. My best candy memory?
Yeah, if you think about, like, a time that you got candy that, for you, was formative and wonderful.
Yeah, no. Like, Joe buys me chocolate, and each time he does that, it's adorable. Hmm. And usually because I'm PMSing like a bitch.
I feel like.
But, like, you know. Yeah.
I guess candy's never been that big in my life.
Huh.
Like, we didn't have candy growing up. Like, Halloween right. and Christmas was, that was what, and right. then it was just, what do you got? I wouldn't say any yeah. of those were formative, though.
Well, like, that's kind of how it was for me, unless I was, like, particularly good at Fleet Farm.
I am gonna, okay, so, when I was living in Switzerland,
yeah.
and I tried Swiss chocolate.
Oh, Jesus.
That shit is real good.
Was it formative?
I wouldn't say it's formative, but it's my best memory.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Of candy, right. I guess I can
and also
say,
in general, yeah. like, you know.
I just really like chocolate.
I don't remember what I said last
I
week. I don't know what you want from
yeah,
me.
Yeah. I would say sugar. I got a Halloween candy that was a little plastic coffin full of bones that you could assemble into a small skeleton. Like a tiny skeleton.
And then eat it.
And then eat it.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah. I would not have taken the time to assemble
it. Yeah,
I imagine
like,
most kids did not. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll stick
all
with.
Right. There we go.
Stick with opaque.
Yeah.
I like chocolate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate is good.
All right. If you would send in a would like to send in a Fast Five,
if you would do it, please fucking do it. You would.
I'm just going to keep writing them until we have one.
Dear God in heaven, please. Oh. Do that. Go to a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form. It's real easy.
Don't make us suffer, James.
Like you're. It's harder than it is because it's really not.
It's really
use
not
the
this
form.
Hard. Dude, he's just,
does anybody have a shout out?
Oh my god. I am gonna give a shout out to AAA. Because during all of the horror festival stuff, my car also like.
Oh.
My alternator died.
Oh, fuck.
Buried the lead on that story.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got really excited about horror
died.
Festival stuff. And yeah, AAA came out and they went, well, it's not your battery. Oh, it's your alternator.
Oh, no.
And yeah, I had to spend a lot of money to get that fixed and
fuck.
I'm not happy about that right now.
Yeah.
But it is fixed. And,
good.
And also to that point, Goodyear on Lake, the one that I recommended
yeah.
for y'all, they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. They talked with me about pricing and things like that, and we came to an agreement. And then the actual cost still ended up being like $50 less than
mm-hmm.
nice. Their estimates. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, shout outs to all of those people. Because my car was done the next day. With minimal interruption to my horror festing.
Awesome.
So
I'm actually going to shout out a different automotive shop. I really like yours.
How dare you?
Oh,
I really like yours. But if you are a person who qualifies for financial assistance of particular kinds, there is a garage pretty close to the uptown Target.
I think you mean a garage.
You're a garage.
Yeah, yeah sometimes. That I will not only give you breaks on pricing and things like that, but they actually get grants and assistance from major funds that will pay for example, at like the Minnesota Clean Air and Water fund will supply money to help repair people's exhaust.
Hmm. Oh, nice.
Again, if you qualify for assistance.
Sure. Right.
And a number of other things. So what would have been, I want to say, like, easily $700-$800 worth of stuff for one of my partner's cars ended up being like $200 or $300. Because some of the stuff was just fully covered, and the rest of it was the cost of the parts, or because the labor was covered under volunteers, or, you know, things like that. And it was fucking amazing. So if you find you or someone you care very deeply about is struggling, look up garages like this. They exist. And
its name is...
I don't know the name of that specific garage. I'm sorry.
That's amusing.
I'm just like, he has talked this up and he still hasn't mentioned the name.
No, that's because...
You said it's the one by the Uptown Target?
The one by the Uptown Target, yeah.
We'll
it is just across the street.
Jenna will fix James's shout-out.
Yeah. Well, my plan was
you know
was
the Uptown Target doesn't actually exist anymore.
I know that the Uptown Kmart doesn't exist anymore.
No, the Uptown Target closed out like 6 months ago.
Yeah. But across from that lot, just after the light rail, there's a garage to the east of that.
The what?
The light rail crosses Lake very close to...
That's not Uptown.
Okay, then...
No, which... that is absolutely not Uptown.
Okay, so it's not like the...
Uptown there are is several where I live.
Targets, yeah. Not the Target that was close to Lagoon
You're
Avenue.
Talking about down by Hiawatha.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not...
That is nowhere near Uptown.
No, that is not
that's
Uptown.
That's my mistake, then. Thank you.
That's like Longfellow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
the Longfellow Target.
And I'm not even sure I'm right on that neighborhood, but...
Okay.
Cochran, Longfellow area. Uptown. Yeah.
Okay.
We love you, James.
I'm like, yeah, no, there was an actual Uptown Target.
Yeah.
Okay.
That closed, and that's why I was like,
gotcha.
Oh. Yeah, so when you said Uptown Target, I was looking for that Target. Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, over by the cemetery there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We got there. We got there.
Thank
folks.
You. Yeah. My intention is to get the name of the place and then provide links for the show.
All right. I will try to get that in there.
Thank you.
We give you shit, James, but it's only because
I
you
deserve
it.
Yeah.
I was right. It is the Longfellow neighborhood.
Jenna, who has lived in the Twin Cities proper for most of her life, knows the neighborhoods better than I do.
James, I'm not even from this state, and I knew that wasn't uptown. Don't even start with that excuse.
You used to live over there.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
No.
Off of Cedar.
What? No.
Jesus Christ. Do I just think neighborhoods are way bigger than they are?
I think you do. Because, that's
have
like...
I've never lived in that.
That's three neighborhoods away from that area.
Okay.
I've lived in St. Paul for most of my time here.
Yeah, the
what?
That's actually true. But no, the last house you were at was in South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But that's not... And,
like, look, East St. Paul is not east of... St. Paul.
No, I know. Like, I've never been up in like the Cedar Riverside area. I've never been lived up in that area.
The lift garage.
The lift garage.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I know boroughs that I've lived in.
Okay, I'm sorry. We've gotta give this guy a lifeline here. He's
shout out to these two for knowing their neighborhoods. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, fuck. James, we love you.
I would have actually said it was across from the old Third Precinct building.
Yeah, that
I didn't want that name in my mouth.
Oh.
Mm.
Eh.
I'm going to give my shout out to my wife of 14 years now.
Aww.
May we have a fuck of a lot more.
Yeah.
luck.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That explains the kids.
It does.
I mean, well, it's one explanation of the kids.
The other possible explanation is the stork.
What about the cabbage patch?
You fucked a stork?
No, under the lilac bush.
Oh.
Salsa fucked a stork?
Under the lilac bush.
Yeah.
Oh.
Next to the cabbages.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That's where babies come from.
That explains the taste of cabbage.
Our parents had
Why
sex.
Do you think carnies smell like cabbage?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Because of all the stork fucking.
Oh, I just thought it was because cabbage is readily available.
No, it's the stork fucking.
Does anybody have a plug? A plug?
I have nothing to plug.
Nothing to plug.
I am unpluggable.
Nothing to plug.
We have
unplugged. All right. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God, James. In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this thing. Thank you to James for writing up that Fast Five at the last minute for us, because the rest of you were sleeping on the job. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.